These get better as the more often you hear them. You say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, you discovered stuff in the poem when you read it that you didn't even know had happened.
I might have, yeah, because it's always a step ahead of you, right? And
is it always a step ahead of you?
Almost always. And when you're trying to catch up, you can't stop to think about it because it's still ahead of you, right? Yeah. So you say, wait. Right. Yes. And then this stretches out into the time when you're not writing, okay? And you, like, I'm so pissed off. The best chapter of the book I'm writing now is two-page chapters, was one that I thought of before I went to bed. So I wrote the whole chapter in my head. And then I thought, I better go up and write this down. And I thought, no, this is so fucking good. I couldn't possibly. And I've been trying. I've got all kinds of clues and so forth. I can't find it anywhere.
Right. Ed Dorn said the same thing in Spokane. Yeah. He had something like that, and he lost it, and it was the best thing he'd ever written.
Well, you just have to write a chapter about trying to find it.
I was just thinking of that, but it doesn't work because in this book, it's in three parts. The first part is objects, second part is food, and the third part is rooms.
But you know, but you say that the poem sort of, you didn't say it word for word, the poem beats you down the street, but not everybody writes like that.
Yeah, too bad. or maybe good thing, because then we don't have to read so many people, right?
Right.
As soon as I see a poem in which that is not happening much, or is not approaching it, right, or that is totally orderly,
yeah,
that looks like it might have been in The Walrus, right?
Right.
I stop reading.
One of our great masters of this kind of poetry is Barry McKinnon. Barry McKinnon.
Oh, I see. Not the bad kind, but the good kind.
No, the good kind. Where did he just recently publish that poem about Gone South? That's in the Cascadia book.
Right. Right. Why do you say that about Barry?
Well, because it's like George was just saying. He's aware at every moment of the implications of the next line, of the next phrase, and he doesn't try to be the master of the process, I guess.
Yeah, you don't make a choice. It's not like you say, oh, there's a line, would I go that way or that way?
Mm. No.
No, he said, you haven't got time for that. You see which way it went, right?
Right. Sometimes you park something else and maybe you come back to it a page later.
Yeah, if you can.
in the book, George Bowring, there are at least two elegies to Jamie Reed and Peter Cully.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about those gentlemen and their poems and your poems?
Well, the Peter Cully one started, there are two reasons for them. One is like, I write a lot of, if you look at any of my last 6-7 books, they have some of those in them, and that's not necessarily elegies, it could be other things. Like, for instance, there's a poem I write when, say, somebody is turning 80, right? And people want to do a collection of stuff about that. So I do, and they're always the same form. They're written in sentences that are 2 lines long. And they go, like there's a Margaret Avison one I wrote because...
It's in here.
Yeah, and it's being turned in, yeah, for Margaret Avison. And it's being turned, it's now been turned into a post broadside about this big, hand-printed on homemade paper, blah, 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 by the guy in charge of Coach House, Stan. And so I do that. So I've done that for a whole pile of people. And the one, and I really like the Jamie Reed one. I like the way it ends. And so I read it at a celebration, whatever.
You should read that poem. Where was Jamie Reed poem?
Well, then the other one is Peter Cully. That outfit in California was doing a collection on Peter Cully, and they asked me to do one, and I said sure. And it's extremely short. Like that, right? Because I wanted it to be honest instead of, oh, I know all these things about Peter Cully that I didn't know, right? And I would see Peter about maybe once a year, something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. He's a guy, you look at him, his appearance, this poet, and you say, wasn't he in the New American Poetry? You know, he had that look. Yeah. That you said, all these magazines, books or anthologies or magazines right. you would see about poets in New York and San Francisco, blah, 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 in 1967, they all look like Peter Cully. A lot of them, sort of, right? So that's that.
Would you care to read the either poem or both? Certainly the Jamie Reed, because George Stanley has talked about it.
The Jamie Reed poem is the last poem in the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, see, this is one, the same kind of thing about Al Purdy. And this is the same. Oh, yeah, the same Margaret Abbott. That's the Margaret Abbott one. And yeah, so there's only three of those in this. And it's really funny, I tried to do one for a poet we know who's got inoperable cancer, and he's having a big poetry night in a certain city. And I tried to write one of these for him, and I worked on it, didn't. I wrote a poem like this. Instead, so sometimes that doesn't happen. Inside Hours. Jamie Reed, incidentally, was he was one of the five editors of Tisch, and so I've known, and I knew him, of course, before that. So I knew him when he was probably 19, something like that, a long time ago, in this neighborhood. I've already thought of four things I wanted to tell him, but he fell from our lives last week. Seeing here's prose, right? Fell from so many lives, we will walk like holes through each other's environments. He broke his mother's glass table with a Christmas tree, and she laughed. She was so proud of him. Maybe not proud, really. Maybe just enjoying him so much. What a lesson she was. He was a bit like a four-legged spider in his skinny black pants, black turtleneck sweater, a good health sweater. Spider, sorry. When we were assigning poet roles among us, he became another Rambo, minus the sacred. Jamie Rambo ran away from home and joined the insurgents in the Paris Commune and national television. He slammed our door when he left us for good from time to time. He came from the sky into Stanley Park with his beautiful wife, who just could not be a spider. She could not be a spider with her beautiful blue eyes. They picked up the color of his soul. The old joke went that we would adopt door-slamming Jamie and give him a place to eat breakfast and poetry. There was an old, round, stone fence that used to surround a school, then a college, then a hospital. "Here, Jamie," it said, "I have what you need, you and King Edward the Peacemaker. I wanted to stand on the street and deliver that message, but you are outside our galaxy skin now. Outside our galaxy skin and inside mine." St. Edward, King Edward, among other things, was the place he went to high school. And
of course, the title of the poem is Inside Ours. Yeah. So the title says, not just inside yours, but well.
Yeah. And it's got the name word Stanley in it. Did he put the word Bowring in any of his poems? No.
Bowring is not a word, it's a name.
It's a present participle.
Right. when people ask me how I spell my name, I just say, like the park and the cup.
That, whenever they ask me how I spell my name, I say, like the author. I do. Not always, but often.
Outside of our galaxy's skin.
Yeah.
That's just one of those that just kind of falls into your lap, or
yeah, it just, there it was. Yeah, and I knew that it was getting to be the end of the poem because that arrived, right?
Right. Now there's a feeling, getting to be the end of the poem.
Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell, can't you?
Uh-huh.
How do you tell?
I don't really think I have that sense. I'm not quite sure I do have that sense. Mm-hmm. So how do you tell?
Sometimes it surprises me. Like sometimes, occasionally, I stop a poem halfway through because I've run out of something, but I'm not done. And so maybe the next day or day after, I'll try to finish it. And sometimes I will. Right? Now, why did I say that? Oh, because sometimes you think you've finished, and then you put it aside, and you come back, and you say, "It's finished."
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's like you didn't think that's where it ended, but you see, now you know it is, right? That happens right. A lot.
But other times?
Other times you pick up and you go. You just keep going. Sometimes you try to go and you can't. and because it was ended, right? So right. It knows better than you do. It was.
But what really surprised me in West Broadway is that the book suddenly came to an end.
Yeah, he didn't know he was finished it.
I didn't know it was finished.
Yeah. On the other hand, maybe next year you'll say, I have an epilogue here.
Well, now I've written 12 very short poems.
That's a year's worth.
Yeah, right. I haven't written one for several months. And
I haven't either. Uh-huh. Yeah, I haven't written a poem since one poem I wrote last fall, right. I guess.
Okay, let's stop talking about ourselves now.
Okay. You haven't written a poem lately.
I just finished one of them. The 12th one.
Yeah, well, see, I'm talking about you instead of me now.
I can quote you the last little poem I wrote.
I don't bother.
All right. It's called Goodbye. The condo towers on Burrard are not me. Once they were me.
And?
That's it. That's the end. Okay.
That came from somewhere earlier in the back. Came from somewhere in the Vancouver poem. Somewhere. There's something that put that there.
Could be. I was just riding the bus on Burrard and looked at those condo towers and realized they were not me.
See,
and then I realized a couple of days later, once they were me.